I don't think it's any mistake that the freest states in the United States are the ones with the most guns. And many Enlightenment philosophers, such as John Locke, have stated that you cannot preserve liberty without the force to protect against, force being used against you. And this is something that many Americans rightly respect and understand, which I very much appreciate. And I wish we had more of a culture of that in Europe. And I'm very envious of that fact. But of course, as I'm sure you know very well, there are plenty of people who do not agree with this in the United States. And just to read the exact wording of the Second Amendment for those who aren't American, I'm sure you've heard this many times. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. There's no vagueness there. Shall not be infringed is a pretty declarative statement, isn't it? If you want to know a little bit more about Locke, before I move on, Carl had a book club on John Locke's Second Treatise of Government. If you want to check that out, that's on the website. That was from January of 2021, so we covered that quite a while ago. But moving on to the main reason I've decided to do this segment. So there were three shootings in California in 3 days, and California has the strictest gun control policies in all of America.
Does it? I thought it was New York, but okay.
Well, it has got some of the strictest ones. That I think they vary, don't they? I suppose it's a bit of a subjective way of saying it, but they're very strict. So apparently 8 people were shot, 1 fatally wounded in Oakland on Monday. At least 10 people were killed when a 72-year-old person called Hu Can Tran opened fire at Monterey Park, a lunar celebration on Saturday night, which I think is a Chinese holiday, isn't it? And 7 others were killed on Monday afternoon when another Chinese-sounding person, Zhao Chunli, opened fire on his co-workers. I think that was in a mushroom farm in California. So I don't know what's encouraging old Asian men to shoot people, but it's somewhat concerning. But the reaction is also very concerning in that Gavin Newsom says that the Second Amendment is becoming a suicide pact. And of course, these sorts of events are often held up by the Democrats as being evidence that they need to come after your guns, don't they?
I don't know if you've got the image, but do you see where he made this statement?
No, I didn't.
It was while he was walking with this person who makes news or whatever, and he is surrounded by 3 armed bodyguards with their sunglasses on and their suits and everything, looking around to make sure he's safe. That's when he says it's a suicide pact.
So he's a massive hypocrite then. He's
protected
with 3 guns. I mean, it's to be expected that he's a politician, isn't he? Yeah. And he is the guy who went to a fancy restaurant when he was locking down the rest of California. So we know he's a hypocrite. He also he's got Patrick Bateman vibes. I don't know whether you've picked up on those, but he's got this really of sinister
Newsom,
veneer.
You are the American psycho. Runs to credits.
So this is obviously being used to attack gun rights. And obviously he doesn't understand or is willfully ignoring the fact that America was built on gun rights, wasn't it? I mean, the fact that things like the American Revolution was so successful is that there was a ready supply of firearms because people just owned them, right? So there's a culture in America that is focused on protecting liberty, and this is being attacked. This is a foundational principle. Obviously, the Second Amendment is very, very important, and of course, it's being used in this way. And I saw this article from the Washington Post, and it was just ridiculous. California's strict gun laws don't eliminate violence, but they have helped. I mean, if they're not eliminating violence, then what are they doing? I mean, that is such a ridiculous way of framing it, isn't it? That, oh yes, we're...
Well, what's the goal? It's not eliminating violence.
Yeah, it's kind of revealing their hand a little bit, isn't it? That they're posing it as in, well, it's not doing what it sets out to do, but it kind of helps.
By controlling the population.
Yeah, that's kind of what's implicit in it. I mean, they do talk about the fact that California does have a slightly lower rate of gun violence per capita, but there are lots of different factors other than the frequency of gun ownership and things like that that might affect it. So There's also this article from the New York Times, which is inevitable. Whenever any mass shooting happens, you get articles like this. Shootings revive push for an assault weapons ban. And this is talking about Biden trying to pass this ban on assault weapons. And this is always the case, isn't it? That there's a shooting, they try and take the guns away. So I thought it'd be good to look at other populations, to look at whether the association with control of firearms and the amount of firearms in a country affects the rate of shootings. So here, if you scroll down to the list, John, just the top of it, just a little bit lower. There we go. So obviously at the top, United States, well done. USA number one. That's one to be proud of. More firearms than people. The only country in the world. I mean, I salute you.
It's good standard.
Then after that is the Falklands, which only has a population of 3,000, but has 2,000 registered guns. And I'm not sure if you're up to date on your history, but there were quite a few shootings in 1982.
Well, then it dropped, seriously.
Yeah, seriously dropped to zero.
There was a gun buyback, but only on Argentinians.
Obviously, I'm on about the Falklands War, but obviously there are also lots and lots of guns that have been undeclared that are relics from that conflict. So they've probably got a similar situation where they have more guns than people as well. Obviously, it's a smaller population, but 3,000 is still enough to the point where you can make statistically significant conclusions from it, right? So there hasn't been a single mass shooting in the Falkland Islands, even though they're probably the most comparable. Obviously, having the guns makes sense when you have Argentina on your doorstep. I also read that lots of people in the Falklands, they say that the most dangerous thing on the Falkland Islands is the elephant seals, that if you so much as look at them the wrong way, they're going to come and try and charge you down. So you kind of want some protection, which makes sense.
Is that true? Is that a meme?
I read it on the internet, therefore it must be true.
All right.
But yes, it seems like, at least in this instance, and I'm going to look at many others, that the correlation between lots of guns and mass shootings doesn't exist. It's almost like there are other factors at play other than gun ownership, and maybe there's cultural aspects to the United States that make it a unique case to the rest of the world, which, by the way, is my opinion. You don't necessarily have to identify the factors to know that it's not necessarily the guns, because you can look at other countries, as I'm doing now, to say, well, why is it uniquely the United States? There has to be something unique about the country and the society within that pushes people to do these sorts of things. And if we move on, I don't know how this got in there. What does it say? Fertile soils, good meats, good wines, ownership of the Falkland Islands. Oh, it's not in the flag. That's funny. But don't know how that got in there. But moving on to the country of Austria, because they also had a large number of guns in that list. I think they have a population of about 8.5 million and about 4 million guns, something like that. And they have a list of mass shootings in Austria. The most recent one was a Muslim. So I feel like that's a bit of an anomaly. We all know that they're more than happy to use whatever they can. In Britain, they've used vans, knives, all sorts of things, right?
Maybe the one guy was defending himself with a narwhal tusk at one point against a local man of peace.
If he had a gun, it would have been a lot shorter show, wouldn't it?
Well, the police had to turn up and shoot the terrorist to death. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, thank you, eventually. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime,
they probably arrested him. He got a license for that narwhal tusk.
He was Polish as well.
See?
Just gates of Vienna all over again.
The Poles are our best allies. And the 2016 one was a man who got in an argument, I think, with his girlfriend, and he killed her and another person. So it's like a domestic dispute. It's not necessarily a mass shooting. And then in 2013, this was a person who I think was caught poaching and shot several police. So a criminal. And it's worth mentioning as well that they confronted members of the public before the police. It could have ended right there and then with members of the public just shooting them. But there we go. So Austria, large number of guns. I think it's top 20 in the world for gun to person ratio. And they don't have your typical United States style mass shooting where it's about spite. It's about having a vendetta against the people that you come into contact with every day, like the school shootings or the shootings in California recently that I mentioned that were to do with things like workplace disputes and that nature. Why does it get to that point? Because it doesn't seem to happen in other countries. So I don't think it's something about the guns. I think blaming the guns is wrong. So moving on to Japan, they're known for having very strict gun laws. And of course, you may have heard in July of this year, the assassination of former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. And supposedly the gun used to do it was a homemade gun. And it was really easy to make, according to analysts, could have taken just a day. So if you have someone who wants to kill someone with a gun, they can make one in a day. And of course, you've got things like 3D printing as well that make it very easy for people to get around these restrictions anyway. So it's probably better not to give criminals the edge in having guns at all and allowing people to be able to defend themselves against potential home invaders, robbers, murderers, that sort of thing. And moving on to the final one, and I feel like this is the one that, to borrow an American phrase, hits it out of the ballpark, is the fact that there's only one gun store in all of Mexico, and the LA Times is asking, so why is gun violence soaring? Like, I can tell you why, because believe it or not, the frequency of gun stores and the distribution of firearms in the general population doesn't necessarily dictate the amount of gun violence. I mean, the cartels, they're not going to listen to, oh, sorry, mate, have you got a license for that magazine? I mean, it's such an absurd thing when you take it out of the American context. Like, imagine trying to apply these sorts of regulations to Mexico. It's not going to affect the cartel, is it?
It's always the same argument, though. So why don't the criminals abide by the law? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if there's anything implicit in that statement. But yeah, obviously, massive cartel problem. I think Mexico City is the murder capital of the... I think it's either the kidnapping or murder capital, isn't it? Either way, a gun would have been useful to defend yourself in that situation. So the fact that Mexico, synonymous with cartels, violence, gun crime, you get cases of cartel going through towns and massacring them because they don't play ball. Well, surely you're just allowing criminals to have a monopoly over the guns, and you've got to rely on the state to defend yourself, which we know a lot of the time doesn't work. There are cases of people in the United States who have been shooting a shooter and the police shoot them because they mistook who they were. So it's probably far better if you can defend yourself and defend your liberty. And these excuses for gun control, they really don't work. When you look at other countries and you look at the situation in the United States, it's clearly because of other things, be it mental health, culture that is pushing people to the brink of shooting other people, clearly has something wrong with it, of targeting the guns, is that it's a palliative measure. It's treating the symptoms of a problem, but not the cause. And I think we should treat the cause and not the symptoms.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast or the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the premium videos, this one on conceptions of political freedom. If you'd like to find out what else we're putting out, you can follow us on Getter @lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.